Dante Fabro. Thank you.
Oh, can you say that again?
Dante Fabro.
Can you say it a little louder?
No, that's how I say it.
Dante Fabro.
Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I'm very grateful that everyone's joining us today. Thank you for the support. Tim, how are you? You look a little sad.
I am not sad.
Is it because your girlfriend's gone?
Yeah, I drove her to the airport this morning. She's just doing like a four-night work trip to a client shoot over in around Kansas City, randomly enough. So,
is she a model?
No, she works in advertising. So they're shooting some commercial stuff.
That sounds a little worrisome.
I don't know how, but okay.
That industry, Tim.
Advertising?
Not good, let me tell you. Not good at all. Not good at all. But anyways, it's Remembrance Day. And Veterans Day. Anna, Remembrance Day. I just watched Don Cherry's rant about Poppy 5 years ago when he got gassed by Hockey Night in Canada for what he said about Poppy. I don't think it was that bad. But he got just lit up in the Canadian press because he was upset about immigrants not respecting the poppy and this, that, and the other. So Don Cherry, he went from being one of the most beloved Canadians, like in the echelon of the Tragically Hip. And you don't know any of these names, Tim, I'm guessing. I just watched the big Tragically Hip miniseries on Amazon. Very well done. But he was in that rarefied air of Gord Downie, Tragically Hip, Don Cherry, those types of people where everybody loved them across the board. Nobody hated the Tragically Hip. No one ever said an ill word of Don Cherry. Yeah, he, you know, he's a curmudgeon sometimes and he gets on the Europeans about their style of play a little bit, but it was all in good fun, right? Until he said that one thing and then everybody got after him. And he just disappeared. Tim disappeared.
I think he's got dodging bullets.
Well, he has a podcast, The Grapevine.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what he said. I only know him as the Canadian hockey guy. You know, I didn't grow up watching him like you did.
The key phrase was he referenced people who weren't from Canada as you people. That's what it was. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. You people come to this country. Don't respect the poppy. As soon as he uttered those two words, you people, it was over with. That was it. No more. Love the guy. I met him a handful of times. I remember I was a healthy scratch in Montreal and I was bagging myself because you have to work out if you were a healthy scratch, and the trainer was just not doing his job. So he left me to my own devices. So I was doing it by myself. In Montreal, they have this huge tunnel in the back. Like I'm talking ceilings 40 feet high. You could drive five Zambonis abreast through this tunnel. It was massive. And they give this little teeny tiny workout room, Tim, like the size of your bedroom, small. They give you a junky bike from 1970, terrible like squat. It just is embarrassing for the Montreal Canadiens. Anyways, it's for the visiting team. So I'm in there biking, watching TV, and I see Don Cherry come by. He pops his heads in, his head in. Hey, big boy, what's up? It struck me right away how small he was, like just very small. Because on TV, he has the suits, he has the persona, the voice, the bravado. And he's just this little old man. You know what I mean? Like he was probably in his 70s. He's just this just old man who loves hockey. So it was just very kind of, I don't know. It almost ruined it because you just think of him as this bigger than life, bigger person. And then you see him, and it's like, you're just this tiny old man.
Wasn't it him that got really emotional about your All-Star thing and basically said, like, you ruined this kid's career with this little joke, and now he has to retire sooner than he might have. And I think it was him.
Yeah, I really wish I would have documented a lot of that stuff because I didn't watch or read any of it. And so a lot of people will say things and say, hey, I did this and that. Or I ran into Bob Cole, who just passed away not too long ago. And it was after the All-Star game, and I was doing some CBC stuff. And he came up to me. He's like, love what you did, this and that. And it took me a minute to realize it was him. And it didn't click until he had said all these things and walked out. I'm like, holy crap, that was like the legendary, you know, Bob Cole. So it was, no, but I don't know, to answer your question, Tim. I have no idea. I know he has said some things, but my head's just mashed potatoes. I don't remember a thing. It's embarrassing sometimes. But anyways, how was your weekend, Tim? What'd you get up to?
The weekend was okay. It was Julia was coming down with something or getting through some kind of cold. So she was kind of just late. We lay low this weekend. But we watched the Harry Potter marathons for a good chunk of it. Have you seen those movies or are those two evil for you?
I don't think I've seen them all.
Because you love Lord of the Rings.
I actually just started watching Lord of the Rings again.
They're great.
So I'm on the first one. And they're so good. Very, very good stuff, but no.
How are you? How's the house coming along? We haven't heard an update in a while.
I'm sipping my coffee. It's a little hot. The house is coming. It's coming down to the stressful time where the roof's on, the windows are in, all the concrete work's done, the framing's done. So now it's like electrical, plumbing, mechanical. And that's where I step, because I'm doing most of the mechanical and all of the electrical. And so right now I'm actually pulling together the order for all the wires, all the junction boxes, the can lights, all those things. And then I'm just going to start pulling wire. So it's intimidating, Tim. We're in this big old house. And it's like, if I screw up, my wife is just going to be on me about it every single day, every day.
I thought it was intimidating. Like, oh, you could shock someone or hurt someone, but no, it's intimidating because your wife might get mad.
Oh my gosh. The axe over my neck everywhere. Like, we went to our friend's house for dinner the other night and his light above his dining room table isn't centered. And he's like, I hear about it all the time. Cause I was just saying, I'm going to wire my house. He's like, make sure you do it right. And he's like, see right there every day. So it's just one of those things. We got a quote to do the electrical, $30,000 to run wire. I'm like, are you nuts? I'm doing it myself. So I figure I can do it for 12 to 15 and save 15 grand. So we'll see how it goes. But it's the boiler comes in 2 weeks, 2 weeks and change at the end of November, my big wood boiler. So I want to have everything in place so I can just plug it in and away we go and heat the house for the winter.
Okay. And move in before the winter, or is that still?
Oh, no. We still got to do all the finishing stuff, Tim. Yeah. We're still, aren't you? May, probably. April, May is a realistic goal for us. Garage doors will come in 3 weeks. Then we're completely airtight. Then you have to heat it. Then after you heat it, you can start drywalling. And then after you drywall, up goes the cabinets, on goes the trim, up goes, you know, the floor. Then you got to do all that stuff. There's a lot to do. So, but my part will be done after the electric and mechanical are done. Thank goodness. Cause it was just, it's been, I'm not a carpenter. I don't know what I'm doing, but at the end of the day, I'll have a really nice system. And I think I'll save myself with the mechanical. I'll say $60,000.
That's big.
I know our listeners are one percenters, so it's not a lot of money for them, but for people like Tim and I, that's a lot of money.
It makes a difference. Speak for yourself, pal. Speak for yourself.
You are a one percenter. You're almost a dink. When you get married, you'll be double income, no kids. Unless Julia has kids. Does she have kids?
She does not have kids. She does not.
I feel like you've dated a girl who had kids in the past.
I have not. No.
You pursued a woman who had kids.
I think you tried to introduce me to someone who had kids. And that didn't go anywhere.
She was a great gal. I don't know what your problem was.
Give her a chance, man.
You missed it. She was a great gal. All right, let's get into the show. So we've been kind of tiptoeing around this team for a long time, not really talking about them just because I felt like they would fall off and everybody else is talking about it. Every other podcast, every other radio show, all the pundits, the Winnipeg Jets. We have to talk about them now. What they're doing is historical. Starting the season 14-1. Is now the best start to an NHL season in history, Tim. In the 100-plus seasons that we've had in the NHL, 14-1 is the best start. And wouldn't you know, it's the Winnipeg Jets who fell flat in the playoffs last year. Connor Hellebuyck got shelled, goals against average above 6 in the playoffs. and now they're off to a hot start. Can you believe this? In what world does this team that didn't make any major moves they made this offseason was shocking the world by re-signing their stars, Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuck, and not just completely revamping this whole team and just starting from scratch after what they've done in the playoffs for the last 5 to 7 years. But no, they held the course. They said, this is our team. We're not making any big changes. We're not bringing any big names in. We have the horses here, and this is who we're going to the dance with. Another 14-1, Tim. Can you wrap your head around this? How are they doing it?
Yeah, it's funny because I was looking back at our preseason predictions, and we basically kind of described them as a team that was just pretty good, but not good enough, right? Like, they'll probably make the playoffs, maybe at best third in their division, more likely a wild card team, and maybe win a round would be a good year for them. And here they are, 14-1. I know it's only November, but it's looking really good. And it's not just that they're 14-1, it's how they're doing it. They're beating teams by a lot. They have offense up and down the lineup. Kyle Connor leads the team tied with 19 points with Mark Scheifele. But Ehlers has 18. Morrissey has 16. Pionk, 14. Velarde, 13. Perfetti, 13. Niederreiter, 12. Like, you go up and down the lineup. Everyone's producing. Everyone's scoring goals. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys with more than five goals. And then you obviously have Connor Hellebuck. Just incredible. 1.83 goals against, 935 save percentage. He's 11-1. Their backup, Eric Comrie, is 3-0. Like, you couldn't ask for more. And something about this just doesn't really seem like it's a bubble that's going to burst. Like, obviously, they're not going to go win 14 out of 15 throughout every, you know, the rest of the season. They're going to lose some games coming up. But it feels, I don't know, it feels real. It doesn't feel like it's smoke and mirrors to me. It's just a gut feeling.
I think it's all smoke and mirrors. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on, you know, you're not going to fool me twice. So we've been down this road before with the Winnipeg Jets, where you're just all in. This is it. This is the season. They got the team. They've worked out all the kinks. You know, they got the vets, they got the young guys, they got the best goalie on the planet, they got an all-star defenseman, they're deep. How can they lose? And then they just let you down. So I'm not quite ready to anoint them as a Stanley Cup contender just yet. I'm going to hold off until midseason, and then we'll see where we're at. And even then, Tim, I want to see him win a round. I want to see how they do in the playoffs, because that's when the rubber meets the road. I don't care. They're making the playoffs.
Yep.
There's no way they don't. They're in the best division in hockey in the Central. They're going to make the playoffs. They might not win the division. The Wild are right behind them. The Dallas Stars are a very good hockey team, but they're in the West. They'll make the playoffs. Call me when they win a round. Is that too callous of me to say that? Because of it's just emotional damage. I feel like we've been this. I picked them in years past. I love this team. I love how they're made up. I love their captain. I love they pick Adam Lowry, but it's too soon for me to, you know, forget. I can forgive them, but I can't forget.
Well, I think it's funny too that if the playoffs started today, they play Edmonton in the first round. Which, you know, right now they are a better team than Edmonton, and you have to expect that they would win. But Edmonton, like, that's upset city waiting to happen.
Tim, you would expect they would win if they lined up right now in a 7-game series versus the Oilers.
You taking the Oilers in that one?
1,000,000%. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you haven't seen, assuming McDavid's healthy. Yeah,
he is. He's back to playing. He got like three points the other night.
But Hellebuck is miles better than Stuart Skinner, except for the fact that he wasn't. So that's a big question mark.
Except for that he's not. So
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Something about this, it just doesn't feel, like a flash in the pan type thing. I think there's a pretty good chance that they're the best team at the end of the season. And playoffs is a different animal, but I think we're going to see them continue to succeed and thrive well through February and March.
Yep. And the trade with Pierre-Luc Dubois just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, I know Alex Iafallo hasn't panned out great, but he's still the valuable third, fourth line guy. And Gabriel Vilardi, it's fantastic. He's the best player in that trade. So, and then Cole Perfetti's stepping up. He's playing fantastic. And then I think one of, and I throw this term around loosely, but maybe I shouldn't. One of the most underrated players in the league is Nikolaj Ehlers.
I've been saying that for years.
He's so good, so consistent, so talented. Right now, he's got 18 points. He does everything right. And he was bandied about in trade rumors this past season. If the Jets were to, you know, change things up, who would they trade? It would be him. That would be a huge mistake. He's so good. He just doesn't rock the boat. You know what I mean? And he consistently goes out there and produces every single season, Tim. He's the real deal.
Yeah, his floor is really 25 goals if he's healthy. And I think and he's a secondary option basically all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's on the first line, but he's splitting and he's back up to Kyle Connor. But he's often on the second line. He's often on the second power play unit. They're balancing things out. So, yeah, he's a great player. This is a really good team that we said this summer, there's no real weaknesses. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have one single guy driving the offense where if he goes hurt, he goes down, he, you know, gets into a slump and things slow down. The entire team can carry the rope. So I think it's real.
I think the weakness is the back end potentially, but the way they play, the responsibility of the forwards coming back and helping and back checking this and that, and just their structure just makes up for any defensive issues on the back end. And they're not bad, but I'm just like poking holes here and there. How can they fail? You know, Colin Miller, Logan Stanley, they're okay. Dylan Sandberg, I like Dylan Sandberg. And Pionk and DeMello's a journeyman guy. I played with him in San Jose. He's good, but he's not a first pair defense pairing, you know? So there are some issues, but when you look at the team as a whole, like that's nitpicking because they're really good.
Was DeMello the guy that you couldn't believe signed just short of $5 million a year for four years?
Yeah.
This summer? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a terrible contract, don't you think? Like, that's a wild number for him.
4.9, he's 31.
It's a wild number, but yeah, they have like three solid lines and Nino Niederreiter's another one of those guys who's just, he's the guy you need to win a Stanley Cup. He could all of a sudden just explode in the playoffs and score a goal every other game, like a Fernando Pisani did back in the day with the Oilers. Like, he's just one of those guys who always finds himself in the right position and he's got a lethal shot. And he's with Lowry and Appleton. I love, you see that fight with Lowry and Ben?
It's great.
Love that. Great. Jamie Benn stirring the pot, upends Cole Perfetti. The Jets are up 4-0. Adam Lowry sees it at the end of a shift, mind you. So he's a little gassed, comes in and takes care of business. I don't want to say he beats the doors off Jamie Benn, but he stands in there as a hell of a fight. Very good fight. Love that.
I love when two big boys go at it who aren't typically heavies, but the two captains, obviously. And yeah, you don't see that very often. We were talking before, like, when's the last time two captains went at it? Maybe someone knows that statistic. We know a few examples from years ago, but has it happened in the last 5 years?
I know Johnny Taves, when I was playing with him, went on a captain killing spree when he went after Backes. He went after Jumbo and he went after someone else. He was just ticking off all the captains in the league, but not very often.
Yeah,
because GMs around the league don't listen to this show for some reason. They don't pick captains who are tough. They pick these little namby-pambies. Skate around in the perimeter. I want a captain who's going to get in there and mix things up. Radko Gudas, Kyle Lowry. These guys, Adam Lowry. Kyle Lowry is the point guard for the 76ers.
Yeah.
All this side. All right, anything else on these Winnipeg Jets, Tim, before we move on to the next topic?
No, well, this is the stat. The 14-1 is the best start in NHL history, as you mentioned, which is surprising to me. It's surprising that they're there, and it's surprising that that's the number. It doesn't feel like it's that outrageous, but it's pretty impressive, right? And it got me thinking about some of the other stats I kind of noticed over the weekend of things that were surprising to me or even a little bit strange. So I'll start with just, I'll kind of rattle off some of these.
The theme of the show.
Yeah. Theme of the show is this is the weird season, the weird start to the season.
It's important to say that because Tim worked hard on this theme and I just brushed right over it. It's weird this season.
There's a lot of weird stuff here. And I'll go through some of these rather quickly and John just jump in, whatever. But the Bruins are a hot one right now. They lost to the Senators the other night. Zero shots on goal in the third period, by the way. When you're tied, it's just outrageous. But
how does that feel when you're playing Linus Allmark, goaltender who you just, you know, jettisoned out because Jeremy Swayman was the incoming starter? Obviously, the offseason issues with Jeremy Swayman, contract negotiations, Linus Allmark coming off the Vezina Trophy. You go to Ottawa, and he just shuts you down. Obviously, not in the third period because you didn't have any shots, but how does that feel as a Bruins fan?
Not great. And I think Ullmark, in real time, not a hockey time, but went without seeing a shot for over an hour in real world time, which is just wild. Yeah, I don't know. I've been defending Montgomery. It's getting harder to do. I think it is on the players, but like we always say, at some point something has to change and you're not going to trade. There's no like easy guys you can look at and say, okay, let's trade Jake DeBrusk. Let's trade Matt Grizzlick. Like those guys are gone. So we got to figure out what we have in house. And if it's the coach, it's the coach. But yeah, it doesn't feel good. And Swayman, they had their picture together, but Swayman has not been good all season long. So 16 this is a problem.
Shots on goal.
Yeah.
How do you change this team? Just quickly. How do you change this team? Because they're spending to the cap. They have no real way out of it. Now that you've got Swayman locked up, you're paying Pasta a long time. You got to re-up Marchand. You're paying McAvoy. He signs Zadorov, Lindholm. What's the answer, Tim?
You don't. It's on the players. There's nothing that's going to happen here, which is, I think, what people know. Like, you don't see anyone in hockey Twitter talking, or Bruins fandom talking about specific players. Or this guy stinks, or get rid of him. Like, you know it's on them, and you can't get rid of them. So it's either Montgomery or nothing, and I hope it's not Montgomery. I hope they turn it around, but at some point, something's going to change. You can't go into the holidays already knowing that you blew the season with this amount of money committed to these good players, you know? So
this is the lottery team.
No, it's not. Okay.
I know.
So speaking of the Bruins, the reason I brought them up, they're 7-7-1, which is not good. Just, you know, a little under 500, but it's hockey 500. They're minus 12, and yet they're third in the Atlantic as of today, which is really bizarre. And again, they played like two more games than the wild card team, but still, for all the clamoring and you know, the siren sounding we've done among Bruins fans, they're still in not only in a playoff spot, but they're in the top three in their division.
This team sucks, Tim. I just think we have to call a spade a spade. They're trending in the wrong direction. The wins they get are versus subpar teams. Oh, they beat Philadelphia. They beat Seattle. They had a good win versus Calgary in overtime. But other than that, they're beating the Montreal Canadiens, the Colorado Avalanche. They play a good team in the Carolina Hurricanes, and then you just get mollywopped. Dallas Stars, they get worked. So this team sucks. I just think you need to just understand this and get it through your head.
They do suck. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Hopefully they turn it around.
They won't.
That's where we can disagree, but they've sucked so far. I'm on your page there.
We got to get someone on the show from this team.
A player? Well, Zadorov was going to come on, but the teams players don't want to talk when they're going playing like this. So
not anymore. That's too bad. All right. Moving on. What else is weird, Tim?
Yeah. Okay. There's only five teams in the entire Western Conference that have a positive goal differential, which means three teams in a playoff spot right now, including one of the top three in their division, to have a negative goal differential, which is pretty weird. The five teams have a positive one, obviously the Jets, the Wild, the Stars, three central teams, the Kings and the Knights, which is, I thought was unusual. There's nine in the East, but only five in the West, which is kind of strange.
Yeah. What's going on there? Is parity gone in the West? That's a strange stat, especially for the Calgary Flames, who started off so hot, like red hot. And they have fallen down their earth. They're 3-5-2 in their last 10, and they looked all out of sorts. That was a fun story while it was happening. Were they 5-0 or something in their first 5-6-0?
Something like that.
My, have the chickens come home to roost, my friend, because the Calgary Flames look every bit of the team that doesn't have a high salary cap, that jettisoned all the talent in the offseason. And it will be a tough season for this team. It was a fun start, though. You know, it gave the players something to kind of hang their hat on throughout the season, but as we all know, you don't make the playoffs in the first week of the season, and you got to continue that success. Fast forward a month into the season, we have met the Calgary Flames, my friend, and they are not good. So it was a good ride. It was a good ride while it lasted, but get ready for some rough riding, Calgary fans.
The next weird stat here, we talked about Nashville a ton, obviously. They had the best offseason by any metric, and yet they're the worst team in the NHL. Stamkos is on pace for 22 goals, but the stat that's really bizarre and surprising that got me this morning, through 15 games and 194 minutes of ice time so far, Jonathan Marchessault has not been on the ice for a single goal at 5-on-5. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
This is from Jay Fresh Hockey, who's one of the better hockey analyst Twitter guys. Yeah, that makes no sense. He's been on for some power play goals. but really strange.
But he plays with Colton Sissons.
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's the best centerman. So he's played over 3 full games of hockey, and not one goal has been scored while he's been on the ice for his team.
At 5-on-5, right.
That's crazy. Like, that's absolutely, wow, he really wants to go back to Vegas. He's just not enjoying his time in Nashville. It's going to be great. This is, and we kind of tiptoed around it in the offseason. This is the New York Jets when they went all in and signed all those. Was it the Jets? It was the Philadelphia Eagles. They signed all those high-end guys, and everybody was like, we're going to win the Super Bowl, and they just stunk. This is it. This is the hockey equivalent of that. They got the 2 best forwards. They got the best defenseman. Re-signed everybody. And for whatever reason, it's not working. Maybe they're reading the press clippings. I don't know. But it just is not working in Nashville. And it's showing no signs of getting better, Tim. None whatsoever. You know, they'll have a good game here or there. They'll sprinkle in here and there a good win, but then they'll just follow that up with 3 just terrible losses. How long until Kitty Cat, Andrew Burnett, gets fired?
Yeah, that's a fair question. You got to
give him like 25 games. He's played 15 games now.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that comment last week from Trott saying, if we keep losing, I'm going to have to start the rebuild. And I think that was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but who knows? This is not good.
No. I think it's a legit statement. He's going to start jettisoning boards and getting him out of there and revamping. I don't think Trott plays around with that. How long? So if he continues to just stay at this rate, they have a 367 win percentage. If he duplicates that again in the next 10 games, so they win 3 out of the next 10, maybe 4. How long?
Yeah, I think 25 games sounds about right. But at that point, are you?
You're already out of it.
Over.
Yeah, I think he has to be either him or Tortorella are on the hot seat, and Torts for different reasons. Basically benching his best player, his biggest prospect. And then the Detroit Red Wings, Lalonde. Those 3 guys are on the hot seat, in my opinion. I'm sure there's other ones around the league, but those ones, whew. But Bruno's got to pick it up because he's going to be gone. It's such a weird career arc with him. Florida to New Jersey. Or was it New Jersey to Florida and now to Nashville? Gets fired from Florida because he was drinking and driving his golf cart. And then ends up in Nashville, has a great year last year, and then can't figure it out. Great guy. Love that. Like one of the best. I say that a lot, I guess, but he's such a good dude. In the realms of like Joe Thornton type of guy, who everybody likes him. Just one of those. Like I remember going to Minnesota my first year, and he would, after the game, just go sit in the sauna with a 6-pack. He'd be like, Johnny, get in here. Come on. And I'm just this young kid, you know, I didn't know any better. I'm like, yeah, that's what we're doing now. And just jump in the sauna with him and have a beer. And I tell you what, have you ever been in a sauna before, Tim?
Yeah, I have.
With another man?
Where are you going with this?
But no, the beer hits you a lot faster. It's amazing. Yeah. After you play like a complete hockey game and you get all like you shower up and then you hit the sauna and then there's a couple beers in there, ice cold. I defy you to come up with a better situation where a cold beer tastes any better. Play a hockey game, complete hockey game, hot shower, maybe jump in the hot tub, into the hot sauna, ice cold beer. So incredibly good. What would be better, Tim, for a beer? Tell me one situation.
Yeah, I can't think of any. The lawnmower beer. You're mowing the lawn, you have a nice beer on a hot day. That's pretty good.
Irresponsible. While you're mowing the lawn?
Sure.
Tim, those things are very dangerous. We have listeners who probably were going to do that and get... We're liable now.
Okay. Great. All right, let's move.
Don't do that. It's heavy machinery, Tim. What's the matter with you?
Not all lawnmowers are heavy machinery, John.
When's the last time you mowed a lawn?
It's been a while. Been in a park.
It's been a while, is right, Mr. Years. Apartment complex. Yeah.
All right, next stat here. Let's talk about another team. The Edmonton Oilers, another team with a very busy offseason, a lot of roster turnover. All the new pieces they brought in pretty much are not working out. So combined, Jeff Skinner, Arvidsson, Henrique, Emberson, Dermott, and Josh Brown have combined 5 goals, 6 assists, minus 13. Meanwhile, the guys they let go, McLeod, Broberg, Holloway, CeCe, and Fogle have 15 goals, 18 assists, 33 points, and are plus 15. I think McLeod would be second on the Oilers in scoring right now, and he's doing that as like a checking center. It's crazy. What, yeah, a little bit of seller's remorse there, I think, from Edmonton.
Well, obviously, they were forced into getting rid of, you know, a couple of guys, Philip Roberg and Dylan Holloway. But it, all that aside, I had high hopes, didn't you? I really thought Arvidsson would do well. I thought Jeff Skinner would come to play and play fairly well, but it just has not happened. And the defense has struggled in a very big way. Philip Broberg, they didn't like him in Edmonton for whatever reason. Like when he left, I don't know if it was just one of those cases where, yeah, we didn't want you anyways. We didn't, you didn't play that good. I'm like, this kid played fantastic in the playoffs, goes to St. Louis. He's got 9 points, 12 games. He's playing great. He got hurt. But he'll be fine. He's a solid, solid defenseman. But didn't you feel like one of those guys were going to hit? Arvidsson, Henrique was going to step it up, or Jeff Skinner was going to at least get 25, 30 goals?
I thought Skinner could maybe get 40 if he's on, you know, connects with McDavid over the course of a season, and none of them are hitting. So I thought it's a bummer. I think Arvidsson probably will be pretty good if they make the playoffs. I think he's a player that's equipped to do that, but who knows at this point.
Well, you add into the fact that Zach Hyman still he's got 3 goals now, but still 3. Their first line, Skinner, McDavid, Hyman, the latest iteration of their first line, 10 goals total between the three of them. Between the three of them, they played 15 games. I want to say they've only scored 10 goals. What the hell are we doing? The second line, Podkolzin, Draisaitl, and Arvidsson, 12 goals. Guess who's got 10 of them? Leon. Like, it's outrageous the lack of production these forwards are getting as a whole. If you take Draisaitl out of the mix for all the forwards, the highest goal total this season is 4. And that's McDavid. There's an issue there. There's an absolute issue, and the defense is terrible. So, yeah, the Oilers are a very, very big trouble. Remember we thought they were just going to bounce back and just be okay, everything's fine? They haven't bounced back. They're still just sitting in this void of, are we good or are we going to, you know, turn it on at any time here, guys? You know, we're still 500. It's 15 games into the season. Let's go. Luckily, everybody's 500 in this damn league.
It's weird. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of weird stats. The next one, just a couple more. 39-year-old Alex Ovechkin has 10 goals in 14 games this year. He has 8 goals in his last 7.
This happened, guy.
Being 39, he's racing to the goal record like he's 30 years old again. I think we all thought that if he gets it, and you said he probably won't, obviously, but if he does, he's going to do it 15, 20 goals a season at a time and just barely and ugly get it when he's 41 and his teammates just get him the puck. Like, that's the only way he can pull it off. And here he is, like, he's making plays, he's skating hard, and he's looking great. And John, I know you have some jokes in the chamber. We're not going to say them, so I don't have to edit things out of the show and just say, hey, he's having a great year. Let's leave it at that.
If you're a member of our Patreon, you know exactly what's happening here. But I'm not going to say anything. I will bite my tongue. But just for fun, if you just strip away all the names, all the backstory, if you're playing in an organized sport, the best league in the world, and you have a player who was really, really good, but he's really old, and he's, you know, his skills are on the decline, and all of a sudden he comes in 1 year and he's like way faster than he was last year, and he looks like he's stronger and he's scoring more, and he's from Russia.
yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Good for Alex. Good for him. All right, what else, Tim?
Last one here. Alexis Lafreniere is second on the Rangers in points. I think he's actually tied now for second. He was second for most of the year. And yeah, he only has one power play point. And this one was strange to me because I have him in fantasy, and he gets a point basically every game. And yet he's ranked super low, like in the 200s. I go, what gives? He's one power play point. It was an assist like 3 weeks ago. So it's really strange. He's on the second unit. The first unit was really good last year. Wasn't, you know, top 5, top 8 in the league, and they're trying to run that back. Zibanejad's been a total flat tire this year, and just a little strange that you have a guy who's producing really well that you know has great chemistry with Panarin, and he's still not producing on the power play because they have him on the second unit.
Why don't you talk about the other Alex LeFerrier?
He's been great. He's been really good.
Playing fantastic. He's like tearing it up 5-on-5, still not getting any power play time, but he's doing great. Like, he's up there with the likes of Dreisaitl and Reinhardt and those guys to just get 5-on-5. He's fantastic.
Is it eight goals now? Nine? How many?
I don't know what exactly he has, but he's playing great. Yeah, he's got 9 goals, 6 assists, 15 points, plus 10 because he doesn't get any power play time. He's the opposite.
For the fantasy players, too, he's got the checks and the hits and the block shots. He does it all. He's a good
player. Does anybody else get tired of Tim talking about fantasy?
No one does. Just you.
Could care less if he's good in fantasy or not. Like, I honestly, who cares?
So many people play. I just mention it from time to time in the show. I don't spend any time on it.
We are going to have our sponsor back, Give Better, who is about to drop their app, speaking of fantasy stuff. So they've been hard at work to trying to implement this. Everybody remembers Give Better. We did their ads for a while last year. Then all of a sudden, they just told us to pump the brakes because they're working through some kinks on a new app. But they finally figured it out. So look for that, and maybe even next week, where they're actually going to start charging money. Not charging money, but you can play for money.
Yeah.
Instead of just them giving money out for free. So it's a good thing where they actually do let you bet money. And if you lose, and what we were talking with Bo, he is the guy who, I don't know if he came up with the idea, but he's the face of the company. And he said, it's been a bad year for bettors, where Vegas is just taking people to the cleaners. And I don't know how that works as far as gambling wise goes, but I'm guessing the underdog's not hitting as much this year. And so people are losing a lot of money. And if you do it through Give Better, a portion of your money goes to charity. So it's a nice little nugget that you can go home and say, hey, I lost, but I still, you know, I still at least gave a little bit to charity. But look for those ads soon. That's exciting. We all love Give Better. A lot of our listeners got $100 from him. And one guy got to go to a game in Washington.
That's right. Shout out to Tate. Yeah.
Shout out. And shout out to a guy on our Patreon, Rick. Sent us a picture of him and his grandfather, combat vet from World War II. And this guy, Rick, looks like he was in the Navy?
Yeah, no,
he's got his uniform on. Looks like a bad man. Scary guy. But yeah, he's in our Patreon. Lots of fun going on there. Check it out if you haven't checked it out yet. But anyways, salute to you, Rick. Anything else, Tim?
Couple of transactions. Dante Fabro was waived by Nashville, and this is a little bit surprising. He's a relatively young right shot defenseman that you don't really get too often available. There's a lot of teams that needed that. Columbus ended up claiming him, so he's going to be playing for the Blue Jackets moving forward. I don't know a ton about him as a player or why he was waived, but we'll see if this just change of scenery is good for him or not.
Yeah, that's weird for the last place team in the league to waive, you know, a valuable piece, and then he goes through waivers, and the Columbus Blue Jackets probably have the first dibs on him because it goes on standings, and they're in last place. So he didn't get long through the waiver wire before somebody picked him up. So very strange move by the Nashville Predators. And then what a name! Can you think of a more sexy name as a hockey player?
Dante Fabro. No, I can't.
Walks in anywhere. Hey, what's your name? Dante Fabro. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, can you say that again? Dante Fabro. Can you say it a little louder? No, that's how I say it. Dante Fabro. Oh my gosh. I just watched Sicario. Benicio del Toro is a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
Isn't he? So good.
I haven't seen that movie though.
Oh my gosh.
I know it's good. I think you're going to make fun of me, but I'm a little worried that it's going to be too stressful. And I'm just like, I won't enjoy it. I'll just be stressed out the whole time. So
why are you stressed out about a movie?
It's just, isn't it just constant, nonstop, like anxiety and action and stress? I don't know.
No, what? The Day of the Soldado. Very good. I recommend it to the over 18 because it's rated R, but it's such a great movie. Such great. Dante Fabro would love it. All right. What else?
There was a trade over the weekend. Daniel Sprong was traded from Vancouver to Seattle for future considerations, aka nothing. Only 3 points in the year for Sprong. He had a pretty good year. We thought he was going to maybe do a little something there, get a shot at the top six after being pretty good for Detroit last year, and just wasn't. Another guy that agreed to come on the show and then ghosted us. So
Daniel Sprong did.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what you get. That's what happens when
couldn't
you ghost us.
A better guy.
You're up next, Darlene.
Last one here from the transaction. This is one maybe you could speak on. Athanasio, is that how you say it?
Athanasio. I butcher that name all the time.
Yeah, he was waived today by the Chicago Blackhawks. He had 0 points in five games. He was healthy, scratched a whole lot, makes 4.25. We'll see if he gets waived. Probably not with that production. But that's not the guy that we, you know, was okay at certain parts last year. We thought maybe his speed alone would make him a good fit based on that roster for playing with Bedard, but just nothing going on. So he's see if someone claims him.
Got a lot of wheels, not a lot of finish, so to speak. Hurt. Doesn't want to play hard. Luke Richardson, coach of the Blackhawks, he needs you to play hard. So if he's not going to do it, he's gone. He was a huge disappointment last year, among many for the Blackhawks last season. And this year, I think things are starting to fall in that direction as well. But anyway, some quick hits. Tanner Janot, good job, George Parros. Way to go. Three games. Such an idiot. Like, golly jeepers. Send a message, for Pete's sake. There's just... And he's got a thankless job. Don't get me wrong. But three games for that, the guy picks his head. No need to make that hit. No need to anything, everything about that play. Brock Besser's still not back. His coach said, we don't know. It's not a huge injury, but we don't know when he's going to come back. The head's a finicky thing. So great. Tanner Janot gets three games. It's such a dumb play. And the Flames, Anthony Mantha will require surgery on his ACL. Surgery is done for the season. Another hit for the Calgary Flames. Where do you see them finishing after that hot start, Tim? Last place?
No, I think they'll be a couple of points short of the wild card. I think they'll be playing for something, but they will miss the playoffs. What? Dead air. Dead air. John's just speechless. The thing about Mantha, that was the reason, obviously it sucks for them now, but he was also a piece that was probably going to end up being traded. Expiring contract, big forward, big body.
Yeah.
And now he won't be.
That's a tough pill to swallow if you're Craig Conroy. And if you're Anthony Mantha, you're trying to get your value up. You had a decent start to the season, a point every other game, and all of a sudden you're UFA. What is he, probably 30 years old, and looking at a career that's kind of, when you look at it, hasn't gone well. Career high in points of, what, 48 back in 2017-18 with the Detroit Red Wings, where he broke in with the league. And ever since then, kind of like, what is going on with this kid? But anyways, who cares? He's done. Good for him. I hope he gets healthy. But the Flames are nowhere near the playoffs. I think they're at least 10 points out at, you know, last 2 weeks of the season.
Okay. We'll find
it's
out.
Just like, gosh, we'll sometimes out. You make a comment, and I just wish I could just reach through the screen and strangle you. Oh, my gosh. It's actually a good thing we're not in the same room together.
Yeah. Sure. Fair enough.
All right, everybody. I think that's enough. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate the support. We'll talk to you guys later. Cheers, everybody.